Welcome to Super Tatis for Parsha Shlach. I really have one story which is really a Shaila, and there's something I want to highlight from it, and then just a few Divrei Torah to make sure that we're all set. The first one is a timely question that was asked to Rav Moshe Sternbach in kind of times like these, where we have Jews in Eretz Yisrael who have to go when they hear the sirens to their miklat, they have to go to their safe room. And the question was posed to him, when you hear a siren, is it better to say Tehillim or to think thoughts of Emunah Bitachon? And he said, the first thing what you need to do is say three times Einon Milvado. No reason was given for that, but the idea was that this was the skula of the Nefesh HaChaim in Shar Gimel, Perek Yud Beis, which is known as the skula nifla. And he says that this is a great idea to be mebatel all the dinim and all of the desires of others so that they can't do anything at all. All you have to do is put in your heart, is it not true that Hashem is the true God? And there's nothing else beside him, and no koach in the whole world. And the whole world is just full of his unity. And that way you're mabatel in your heart, and you don't care about anything else in the world. And you just say, I'm Meshubat to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's interesting, this concept, the skula nifla of the Nefesh HaChaim, is brought down. And the most important part of it, I believe, Rav Sternbach said, was it's less the amira per se, but more the fact that, like, you get your heart and your head in the right place. So I think that I often find that even in times of need, you can occasionally become very formulaic, and we want to know what to do. We want to have something to do and everything else, but I think that that can occasionally come at the cost of really growing and thinking and all the other parts of it. So I think that this is just a reminder to all of us that more than just saying Einon Milvado, is that we need to really be koveya in our hearts the feelings of Einon Milvado. And I tell a story of somebody who was in a moment of tsar for them, and they were thinking about all their things. They started davening to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and then they stopped, and they said, you know what, you're perfect. You do what you need to do in your perfection, and I'll figure it out. And that's a chashava idea for all of us to remember, is that when you get to Einol Novado, in a certain way, it takes a lot of the pachad away. On to Divrei Torah, a story for, a comment from the Or HaChaim. We're going to have several comments from the Or HaChaim, and this one absolutely blew me away. So, Kalev and Yehoshua are the opposition to the voices of the Meraglim, but the Or HaChaim has a thesis that he says that actually Kalev gets a lot more schar than Yehoshua did. Why? Because we see he's called Avdi. He's specifically called an Eved. Why? Avdi Kalev. Ekev haisa ruach acheres bo. It says, Avdi Kalev ben Yefune, ruach acheres haisa bo. What does it mean, ruach acheres? He had a different idea about him. He had a different spirit about him. V'imale acharai. And he chased after me. And I'm going to take him to Eretz Yisrael, and his children will inherit the land. What does it mean? He says, look, Kalev actually agreed with the Meraglim. That's really the truth. Kalev was not dissimilar in his gut reaction from the Meraglim, but he says, Ruach Acheres, and how do we know? Ruach Acheres Haisaimo. He kind of agreed to go with it, or in his heart, but he went against his Yetzer Hara. He went against his Yetzer Hara, and he fought, and he fought, and he fought, and he won. This is not like Yehoshua. Yehoshua had Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillas, the tefillas of a tzaddik, to save him from the Yetzer Hara and from the Eitzah of the Meraglim, so that he wouldn't be taken in the wrong direction. So because of that, Yehoshua really was good, meaning the tefillah was accepted. Yehoshua had the right idea to begin with, but Kalev didn't. He was Ruach HaCheres, but Vimalei Acharai. He decided still he wanted to get to Ratzon Hashem. And because of that, this is like the Maimer in Kiddushin, Lamed Tes, that says, Misha ba avir liyado, v'nitzol mimeno, nos num nuschar kasiyas mitzvah, somebody who has an avira right in front of them, like the Meraglim, for example, and they're saved from it, they get the schar like somebody who does a mitzvah. And this is not the same thing as Yehoshua. Yehoshua was not really swayed by it. And here it sounds like it's a bigger schar for Kalev, because Kalev, they talk that he gets the Yerusha Sa'aret specifically. Now, there's a story in the Maaser Rav Tovsoa about a Talmid HaGra called Rabbeinu Yeshaya, who went to the Gra and asked him, what's better, somebody with a terrible Yetzer Hara who succeeds over it, or somebody who's born with a really good disposition and succeeds? And the Gra pointed to the Gemara in Brachos Gadol, and then Miyagi Akapa Miyari Shamayim, says somebody who benefits from the work of their hands is greater than a person who is a Yori Shamayim. Obviously, the pshat of that Maimar Chazal is somewhat difficult, but he says, here's the way that we understand it. The way that we understand it is that fundamentally it is better to succeed over a really tough Yetzer Hara than to never have to fight at all. And that is indeed the distinction that we see between Kalev and Yehoshua. And it's also a chizik for all of us who feel like perhaps our Yetzer Hara is greater than we would like it to be or anything else. It just allows us a lot of room for opportunity. We can spend a minute in the Orach Chaim working on some symbolism. We learn about tzitzis this week. So why are the quote-unquote basic strings lavan? Says to remind of Kadosh Baruch Hu's rachamim. That comes with lavan. The fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu it will allow us to do tshuva, for example. So the fact we have blue is to remind that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the ruler over the Shamayim. And also the number of the chutim represent a Kadosh Baruch Hu, his shlita over the world. And why is it on a four-cornered garment? Because it's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ruler over the four corners of the world. So why do we have the Tcheles with the Lavon? So that we understand that the Lavon is the Chesed and the Tcheles is Rachamim. And the two of them are coming together, kind of showing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midos are working in tandem. Next is a very humbling piece talking about the Meraglim. And it says that there are five reasons why HaKadosh Baruch Hu will get very angry and he will mete out punishment quickly. The first one is when an Adam Gadol and an Adam Choshuv will rebel against Hashem. The second one is that a person who has good company and he is going to do badly, and he's going to lead others in the wrong direction. The third one is when a person has a very strong feeling not to do the Aveira. They feel like they should not do it. Rather, they should do tshuva, like somebody whose tzitzis hit them in the face or something like that, and they are completely oblivious to it, or they actively choose to ignore it, right? Number four is if a person brings other people along, brings the rabbim along, a machtiv yas harabim. And number five, if it's a very abnormal and great avera, So now the Or HaChaim goes along and he says that each of these five categories apply to Meraglim. Now we can understand why it's so bad. The first one is they're called a Nashim, means that they have Chashivus, right? So they were the Shluchim, it says Asher Shalach, they were the Shluchim of a Chevra, and that Chevra was none other than the Klal Yisrael that came out, and that include Moshe Rabbeinu, and so forth. The third one, it says Vayeshuvu, that they came back. So what does that mean? It means that they had a good reason to know to do tshuva. And why? Because there was a huge nes. Because really, when they went into Eretz Yisrael, they saw the Anakim, these giants. And the Anakim did not injure them at all. So they could have looked at it and said, whoa, this is a place where you get amazing shmira. But instead, they looked at it and they said that it should be a incredible sakana, and they didn't realize that they should do tshuva from whatever fear that they had and whatever kinds of wrong perspectives that they might have espoused. Number four, it says kol ha'eda. So what does it mean when everybody, it says v'yalinu kol ha'eda, they all complained? That means that they were machshil the rabbim. The meraglim were machshil the rabbim, and they brought everybody else along. And lahotzi diba la aretz, number five, is a terrible, abnormal avera, because Eretz Yisrael is just so special. It's easy to see to everybody's eyes, and for them to make a comment like that is really, really remarkable. I think that one of the powerful messages here is when you have an opportunity to turn back, which often is the case for us, and you say afal pichein, or you dig in more, or you have eyes closed, that's something which is pretty near and dear to all of us. Hopefully a lot of the other ones aren't, but that's one to consider, that if there's a hairline fracture in us of what had happened with the Meraglim, that might be one we would like to consider. Last, I've got a little kasha on Rashi to work through. So it says in Yud Gimel Gimel, says Kulam Anashim, says Rashi, Kol Anashim Shebemikra Lashon Chashivus. Anytime the word Anashim is used in the Chumash, it should be referring to somebody who is significant and honorable. Ve'osa Shak Shirim, says they're kosher. However, if you look later in Pasuk Chavav, Rashi says v'yelchu v'yavo, and it says ma'o v'yelchu. Why do they use the word v'yelchu? L'hakish halichoson l'biyosan. It says to compare their leaving to their coming back. Ma biyosan be'itzara. They came back with this terrible plan, a plot. Af halichoson be'itzara. So it must be that they left with it as well. So it sounds like it's a stira, because either they were kosher or they had an etzara, but it's hard to say that the two of them could be true. So how would you be miyashiv? How would you resolve this stira in Rashi?